When Jesus says to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" The gospel says he said this to Philip in order to test him. Not only Philip, but all the apostles. And not only the apostles, but also the boy. And not only the boy, but us who are gathered here for the Mass. So it's a test. What's the test? To see if we will be able to go beyond what we can conclude by reason. To see if we can make the leap of faith. God is continually putting before us impossible situations. Situations that we can't resolve on human power alone. I just look at the circumstances we're in here. The parish is locked down, COVID-19, so I don't have any masses in the parish. Here we are, very few. There's a crowd of 5,000 in the gospel here. We have plenty. Even if we had 5 loaves and 2 fish, it'd be plenty for us. Then there's this report I got last night that the increased restrictions are back to 10% occupancy of the church or of the chapel. So, well, we're not 10% here, but still, everything going backward. Then there's the report from the barangay, the LGU, that the dreaded Delta variant has arrived in this neighborhood. I'm a little skeptical of that because there's only, I looked it up yesterday, there's 64 cases in the whole country now. And apparently they say one of them is right here in our neighborhood. So they're not putting the strictest quarantine on us, but they're trying to scare us with the Delta variant. Now, and then I'll just add one more impossible thing. Today is officially the very first Grandparents' Day in the church, called by Pope Francis, to be celebrated every year on the fourth Sunday of July. So this is Grandparents' Day. Grandparents have not been, at least anyone over 65, has not been allowed to go out of their house for a year and a half. And there's no one going to the parish. There's nobody here. There's no grandparents here. There's no grandparents in any of the, well, unless they're under 65. So some grandparents are under 65. But there are no seniors under 65 in any of the masses. And here's the first annual celebration of the grandparents. It's a contradiction. It's a blatant contradiction, like so many things. It's pouring rain. So Jesus says this to Philip in order to test him. And Jesus puts before us all these contradictory experiences to test us. Are we going to live in fear? Are we going to let our human resources, are we going to rely only on our human resources? Or are we going to trust in God? Are we going to live by faith? Are we going to trust that God can provide for his people? The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs, the psalm says. Well, do we really believe that? Do we believe that he answers all our needs? Or do we act as if we have to answer our own needs? We are, for a year and a half, being shown that we can't handle this virus, even with the vaccines. We're not winning the battle. Maybe in the States they are, but here we're not. For every great achievement, every great human achievement, there are thousands of situations we can't resolve. Somebody went into space last week, the richest man in the world. He built his own rocket ship and he went into space for a few minutes. Did you read about that? Yeah, he built his own rocket ship. He blasted off. The whole flight took less than 11 minutes. He spent 3 minutes in space, came back down, and everybody said, this is the greatest thing. Oh, this, now we can have space tourism. Sure, great achievement. I'm nothing against it. I love advancement of technology. But for every rocket ship to the moon, every rocket ship that goes into space, there's 10,000 people who don't even have food to eat, or more. You know that expression that was so common. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't solve world hunger. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't stop the virus. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't stop human trafficking. We can't stop pornography. We can't stop the drug trade. We can't stop corruption in the government. We can't stop, so many things. We can't feed the world. And we're supposed to recognize the impossibility of our situation. Jesus puts Philip to the test. He puts us to the test. What are you going to do about human trafficking? What are you going to do about world hunger? What are you going to do about the disparities in the world? What about the climate? What about drugs? What are you going to do about it? And the human response is, well, I mean, we're nowhere near solving these problems. Even if we had 200 days worth of wages, we would not be able to solve even one of these problems. Therefore, this is what Philip doesn't say, therefore, we turn to you, Lord, we can't do it. Philip says, we can't do it. But he doesn't say, we put this before you, Lord. We put our trust in you. He doesn't say, the hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. He just says, we can't feed all these people. So Philip gives the right human answer, but he fails the test of faith. And this is, I think, what we do most of the time. Yes, we can see the problems if we're willing to look at them honestly, but we don't leap to the solution. We don't trust that there is a solution in God. Well, Andrew takes a further step because he brings this boy. Here's a boy, he's got some food. 5 barley loaves, 2 fish. But what good are these for so many? Exactly, what good is 5 barley loaves? What good is one guy launched into space for 3 minutes? What good is that going to do us? Sure, it's a great thing. It's a great thing to have 5 barley loaves, but it's still nothing by comparison to the problems. Then we have the boy. We don't know his name. He's the model. He's at the very heart of this gospel, this boy. I noticed in the Anuam Way, the Pope emphasizes the importance of the boy in the spiritual reflection that's printed at the beginning of this week. And then in the meditation, there's a lot of attention on the boy also. And it's right. In fact, the front cover of this issue of Anuam Way is the boy. I'll tell you a little side story about this picture. It's a kind of an unusual picture. We're looking over the shoulder of this young man. In his arms are this basket of loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish, you can count them. And it's as if we're looking from his perspective on the situation, and there in the distance is Jesus standing there, he's in white. And if you look closely, there are lots of people all around listening to Jesus. So I always have imagined the boy being with Andrew and standing right next to Jesus, because Andrew says, here's a boy. But this painting takes us back a few moments earlier, where it's the boy himself taking the initiative. He's going to go to Andrew. He's going to go to Jesus. He's going to present this armload full of food. Now, so the staff chose this painting. We put it on the front cover, but it's a copyrighted artwork. So they had to get the permission of the artist, and they looked him up. And it's listed here in the inside cover. The front cover artwork is "The Miracle of the Loaves and Fishes" by Barry Singer, and there's his website, www.fishfanatic.etsy.com, used with permission. So I looked at the website I'm just curious about this artist and about this man. I thought maybe he has other artworks of biblical scenes. It turns out that this artist is a fish fanatic. He does artwork about fish. Fishermen, fly fishermen, fishing nets, aquariums, all different varieties of fish. It's all fish. The whole website is all artwork about fish. So that it gives me a new perspective on this painting. If you notice, everything in the painting is a little bit blurry, except for the fish. The fish are in quite fine detail, very well painted fish. So in this guy's mind, it's about fish. Kind of, anyway, that's not so important for our reflections, but you can see we could have different perspectives on what happens. I like the perspective, we shared about this last night, about the relationship of Philip and Andrew. You know, the other Gospels don't talk about what the apostles were going through. They just say, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus does the rest. But here, Philip is on the spot, and then Andrew, who it seems is coming with a solution, it also seems that he's rescuing Philip. I mean, Philip blew it, and Andrew comes in and says, well, here's something, you know, as if to distract the attention away from Philip's limit. And Philip and Andrew, like all the 12, they have to deal with the challenge of following Jesus. That's one of the great things about that mini-series, The Chosen. You get to imagine how the apostles interact with each other. And they all have different ideas about what they're supposed to do. Very often, not doing what Jesus says. Very often, arguing among themselves what's the best thing to do instead of saying, let's do what Jesus says. So I'm sure that is exactly what happened among the apostles, because that's what happens to us all the time. We have a challenge. It seems like an impossible challenge, and we all have different ideas about what to do. Do we agree that we should do what Jesus says? That's the test, the obedience of faith, to entrust ourselves, to entrust our very meager resources to the Lord, not giving things away. That wouldn't necessarily do anything, but giving them to God, entrusting ourselves and all we have to God. That's the challenge, that's the test. In all these impossible situations, we are supposed to recognize, we have to use our human reason, supposed to recognize that we can't make a difference, a significant difference. And then in faith, we're supposed to realize, but God can do anything. He can solve these problems, so let us entrust ourselves to God. Now, it means we have to still make our efforts. We have to use all our resources, use technology, use human reason, use structures of human organization and the wisdom of the world in some ways, but for the building up of the kingdom, for the feeding of the people. One thing we should not do is keep this illusion that we can solve the problem. This is why the interpretation of this gospel, which so often comes up, we talked about this too last night, the idea that what really happened here was that everybody brought out their food and shared, and that was the miracle. That's a terrible misinterpretation, because it implies that if we just work hard enough, and if we're just willing to cooperate enough, we can solve the problems. That's not the lesson here. And that's not what that's not the plain sense of the gospel. Look at what happens here. They start with 5 loaves, they end up with 12 baskets. So that's not people saying, here's my food, I'll share with you, because nobody would put any food into the basket. This is obviously a multiplication of food that comes from divine action. And the people's reaction is not, oh, isn't it nice that we got along and we shared? The reaction is, this is the prophet. This is the one who is to come into the world. This is the new Moses. This is the one who is the new lawgiver, the new liberator, he's providing the new manna. So they're right in saying, we didn't do this. This man did it, Jesus. okay. In some ways, after the miracle, the people pass the test. They realize we have to put our trust in this man. This is the prophet. Well, that's what we're being invited to do, challenged to do today because of this gospel and also because of the circumstances that we face. I'm very deliberately recording this one because there's not many people here, but a lot of people can't go to Mass today. There's no Mass in the parish. There's no public Mass here. So in order to give people some food, some spiritual food, we'll make this recording and then we'll entrust it to the internet and hopefully it will get to someone. But the thing is, that's up to God. We'll set our 5 loaves before God, sure. That's the best thing we can do with our loaves. And let him multiply them. Let him feed people we don't even know exist. Thanks be to God that he does that, because we can't do it. So we're not despairing, we're not afraid, and we don't live in the illusion that we can answer our own problems. We trust in God, we rejoice to trust in him. We rejoice that a great prophet has risen in our midst, that God has visited his people, that we rejoice that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We rejoice to put our trust in the Lord.